Well, yeah. So, like, I was having my lunch today. No, no. It was before my lunch. I can't even get my story straight. I was having a call at work around lunchtime. And I look out the window as the call finished. And I realized that the people that I was on the call with probably saw my husband and kids out front putting rubber bands around a watermelon. Because it's been my six-year-old's dream to put rubber bands around a watermelon in hopes that it explodes. And sure enough, I get out there and, like, I'm not even standing there, you know, 5 minutes and this thing explodes. And it was just a grand old time. And I think, you know, a lot of people may think that, you know, we're doing this for the kids and stuff like that, but I'm pretty sure Brew Husband and I were just as excited to put rubber bands around a watermelon and explode it. So that was my day, working and exploding watermelons with rubber bands.
So how many rubber bands did it take to explode a watermelon?
Oh, I have no idea. There was hundreds of rubber bands on this thing, for sure.
Sweet. Awesome.
We got a nice so worth
cat
it.
Action. We got cat action. yeah, that is... I mean, Adele is like the Canadian Bill Nye the Science Guy.
That sounds about right. Yeah, for sure.
What is going on, guys? This is the Exit 12 Homebrew and Craft Beer Lifestyle Podcast. I am your host, Brandon. Alongside me, as always, is the other half of Exit 12, Nick, and our Canadian brew lady, Adele. You can follow Nick and I on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Exit 12 Homebrew. And you can follow our homebrew journeys at Exit 12 Homebrew on YouTube. If you're looking for Adele, she is Brew Lady Beer on Instagram and Twitter, and her website is brewlady.com. This week we had a great episode for you guys. We're going to talk about the state of beer, whether that be craft beer or home brew. We're just going to chop it up about that. But before we get to all that, we need to know what we're drinking. So what are you guys drinking?
I'll start this week. I'm drinking a beer that I haven't had, boy, since 2016, maybe. I don't go back to beers very often. But this one I just had to. The beer I'm drinking tonight is Hop Slam Ale. It's a double India Pale Ale brewed with honey by Bell's Brewery out of Comstock, Michigan. This beer in 2016 was one of the more sought after beers in the country. I traded, I believe it was Trillium, which is a local brewery here, for some of this Hop Slam. I drank it in 2016 or 17. I drank it so long ago, in fact, that Untappd no longer kept my check-in. So that's fascinating. but this beer is it's supposed to be a West Coast style double IPA, 10% alcohol by volume. And as I show my podcast mates, it's one of those tweeners again. It's not completely clear. It's not completely hazy. It's in the middle of a West Coast and a New England, which is interesting. Some fun facts about this beer. They use 6 different hop varieties, mainly from the Pacific Northwest, and it's dry hopped heavily with Simcoe. This beer here was packaged in January 2021. We are recording this podcast in late April. The shelf life on this, as the website at Bell's Brewery will tell you, is 3 months. So we're right on the edge of that shelf life. This Bell's in general is distributed everywhere in the USA besides Alaska, Hawaii, Oregon, Idaho, Utah, and California, Montana, and Washington as well. So it's interesting that they pretty much distribute throughout the country. Weird that you're not going to California. It's such a big state, but fair enough. Oregon has enough craft beer as it is, probably can't compete. Regardless, this beer is a golden. It could be the honey that's given it that tinge of kind of, hazy. It's got this between straw and golden, you know, a little bit lighter than a copper look. So it has the look of a West Coast, does not have the clarity of it. I'm going to go in for the nose. My experience drinking it or smelling it now, my experience overall is going to be a lot different than it was years ago because I was just getting into craft beer, just getting into beer trading. What I can recall about the nose then, what it just smelled very bitter. It smelled very hoppy. 3 months on this, you're not getting that much hops. You're really not. Definitely got that malty aspect, that sweetness almost. This smells like you took liquid malt and honey and poured it on pancakes almost. Maybe a waffle, a Belgian waffle. Regardless, I'm going to dig in. Cheers. L'chaim. Yeah, all right. So I distinctly remember my drinking experience years ago. It was bitter on bitter. I hated it. This is bitter, but you get used to it over time. Like, it's drinking beers, your palate adjusts. So that's why I was so intrigued when I went to the store today and I saw it, because I wanted to try it again. There's no better place to try it than on the Exit 12 Craft Beer and Homebrew Lifestyle Podcast, or however the hell we say it now. Very bitter. It really has done a good job of maintaining a decent level of bitterness even after 3 months. Bitterness really hangs out, really hanging with you. It's your buddy. It's your buddy for the night. The bitterness is your buddy. You want him to go home? He's staying over. He's going to stay over and have a couple more beers with you. You're just trying to go to bed. You don't want to tell him to go home. You don't want to be a dick. But he just keeps talking. He won't shut up. That's the bitterness with this beer.
Nick's always painting a picture.
Pine. Definitely get a nice level of pine. Malt bill comes on the back end, staying with the bitterness. The bitterness, as I mentioned, is the friend you don't want over for a long period of time. But the pine aspect, you definitely get some of those classic West Coast characteristics. Not so much on the fruity, piney, resiny. Dank, if you will. Almost like licking a tree that's got pine sap coming out of it. Is that a weird descriptor?
We don't go around licking pine trees. Maple trees, yeah. Pine trees, no.
I don't even know if pine trees have pine sap. Regardless, it's a good beer. And I think years ago, I didn't appreciate it because it was all I got was bitter. Also, again, this has 3 months on it. It's tough to judge. Overall, I would say I'm happy with this beer. I wouldn't get it again with 3 months on it. I'd like to try it a little more fresh to really get an idea, because when I traded for it, I distinctly remember it was very fresh. Overall, this is going to be a good drinking experience. At 10%, you don't taste it at all. This tastes like a 6%er. So good on Bell's for hiding it. Turning people into alcoholics one at a time. It's a fantastic beer for 3 months on it. I'll say that for sure. But I wouldn't have it again at 3 months. I'd like to try it fresh. Overall, Bell's, thank you. Hop Slam, they come out with it once a year. January, February, they kind of distribute it. It's one of their most popular, if not their most popular beer. And it's a pretty good one.
So I had a few of my daycare teachers over for a day party for my kids last week. Little bouncy castle, little, you know, festivities. The wife was drinking and she had me pick up this beer for one of those teachers. And it is a Sam Adams Boston Lager. Now, this is a beer that you can get almost anywhere. Listen, if we're talking about a widely distributed beer, I don't think there's been a more widely distributed beer on this podcast than the Boston Lager. It is a staple around here. I am going to pop it open and drink it right out of the bottle like a true masshole would. And let's just get it going.
Oh my gosh, savage.
Socks, kids.
Fun fact, the beer is not brewed in Boston. The beer is brewed in Pennsylvania. And Brandon mentioned something. What'd you say about it's like the beer around here? I mean, I guess so. I don't know if I would agree with that. It's not that it's not the beer, the official beer of the Red Sox. It is now this year, but before it was Budweiser. Yeah,
I'm branding it the official beer of Boston. So a little nose, you just get the yeast. You get that crisp lager type yeast characteristic that I associate, honestly, from my Coors Light drinking days. It's like this really clean yeast profile flavor aroma I get. You don't get much of the hops at all. 30 IBUs, you're not going to get anything. Anyway, I am going way more in depth on a Boston lager than probably anybody's ever went through.
Well, I'm just interested, from my point of view, when you smell it, do you get threatening sensory manager?
I don't get that. That might just be, it's subtle.
It depends on the batch. You might have an older batch.
Yeah. It's subtle. So, yeah, no, I don't get that. All right, let me go in for a little taste on this bad boy. Put a little glass to the lips. That's a lager. So, yeah, it just tastes like a lager. It's very clean. Got a little bit of hop bitterness, slight. But yeah, I mean, if I was going for a lager and I was out getting a nice little steak and you go to the restaurant there, the Longhorn, if you will, and they don't have...
That's Brandon's barometer for greatness. Yeah.
Listen, I'm trying to keep it. Listen, I'm not going to go to the local steakhouses. Everybody's got a Longhorn in their neighborhood. And you get this, and, you know, they don't really have a good craft beer selection. Go with the Boston Lager. It'll do its job. It'll help you out with that nice steak you got from this chain restaurant, and just do your thing.
When I go out for a nice steak, at a chain restaurant, Longhorn, I do like their steaks. I'll say that. So props to Brandon for that. I'm a Stella guy. I like a Stella beer. You know, it's light, not super filling. It's not going to fill you up where you can't eat your meal. Boston Lager is a good choice. It's a solid beer through and through. Maybe Sensi department, not so much. R&D. Yeah, it is what it is. Adele?
Yeah. So I'm drinking the Red Sky Amber Ale by William Street Brewery. So William Street Brewery, or I guess they go by William Street Beer Co., is in Cobourg, Ontario, which is just, maybe 5-6 kilometers south of my house. And I just wanted to go local, but I saw that this brewery was actually doing like free deliveries in my region. So I was like, you know what? I'll support local, seeing as how nothing's opening up ever again, it seems, in Canada. So that's fun. So I thought I'm gonna support my local brewery. There's only two near my house, so I thought I better give them a shot. I've lived here maybe 3-4 years now, and I have yet to drink anything from this brewery. So I thought this is a good time to give them a shot. And I'm loving this amber ale. I'm not going to lie. The color is extremely dark. So there is chocolate malt in here and a lot of caramel malt. I get nothing but caramel when I drink this. It's very lightly hopped, very lightly hopped. It's not very hoppy at all, but there's enough hop in there to kind of wash off that super sweet caramel malt off of your tongue so that you can go in for another sip. The sweetness, like, I'm getting right off the bat, and it's definitely like a bold sweetness, but it's washing off the tongue really nicely. I'm finding it to be very light bulby.
Those beers with the light bulbs.
The light bulbs just go off.
Too many light bulbs in that beer.
The can is really cute, actually, too. The entire, like, the branding of this brewery is really well done. Very well done. They've got some.
Hey, Brandon, nice, did you hear about that beer Sylvania put out?
No. Tell me all about it.
Sylvania. It's a light bulb IPA. They fermented it and used light bulbs from trailer parks Yeah. So people that had trailers took their used light bulbs and sent them into Sylvania and they threw them in the fermenter. Actually, they transferred it to secondary with the light bulbs in there and fermented it.
Yeah.
So that was the bulby aspect.
I like a good bulb.
Got some nice bulbs.
Okay. So,
Did you finish your description of the beer?
Yes.
That was my
sweet,
fault.
Yummy, yeah. Super clear.
Listen, there's nobody better.
There's
in
no
the
better
game.
Way to end it.
There's nobody better in the game of tasting and sampling and giving their tasting notes on beer than our lovely brew lady. She's the best that's ever done it. There's nobody better.
I tried really hard this week.
I was giving you a compliment.
There's a little asterisk next to what Brandon's saying. And, you know, and then in the bottom, there's like the clarifying asterisk that says the worst. So it's the best asterisk. And then there's that.
She has
clarifier.
Something new this week.
So
she
I agree
has,
with you, Brandon.
She has something new this week, which was very nice.
That's the barometer. The barometer correct. Is she has something new. Is that where we're setting expectations?
We have had, if we are doing like percentage, we have had.
That's an insult to Adele.
75 between home, like the New England IPA and the porter, the smoked porter, that roughly goes about 75% of Adele's. What
that's
are
an
we
accurate
drinking?
Estimate. That's so, an accurate percentage.
Listen, when you get something new.
And then the other 25% is her beer advent calendar.
Oh, God, yeah, there's that too.
She choked through.
Oof. And don't forget the wine.
Oh, yeah, wine.
I drink a lot of wine on a beer podcast.
Listen, next time, it's just going to be the friggin' oil.
I am that person.
She's just going to do, listen, Adele.
The wine's
next
fine.
Week, let's just do a tasting note on the CBD oils. Let's just do that. Like,
no, let's take it a step further and just have her smoke out of a bong and give us a taste.
Out of the bong. That'd be excellent.
I'd rather that.
Yeah. I
bet you'd like that.
That's the move. The move is not like CBD oil. Have her take like the biggest bong she can find and just rip the fuck out of it during this part.
Yeah, that would be excellent.
And just go like, what do you get? What do you get? Yeah. Aroma? Yeah. Aroma and flavor descriptors, Adele. Go. Yeah. Oh, this fucking bubble kush is crazy. That's the move.
That's the move. So, Adele, do you have anything coming up brew-wise?
No, I've got some stuff I got to take care of on my weekends before I can brew my next batch. It is
pray
what
tell.
It is.
Yeah, what do you got? What do you got going on?
Me?
You! Yeah,
no,
you!
No, you're cutting out! You're cutting out, so I wasn't sure if you were like talking to Nick or something. But no, I just have to make a lot of soap for my friend's wedding this summer. So I have to get that done.
I'll tell you, the soap game doesn't sleep, man.
How much soap do you gotta make?
I want to have at least 40 bars ready for her.
40
just
bars.
In case things are kind of open.
40? That seems small. No?
Oh, she'll be lucky if she's let up 10 people go to her wedding.
Everybody gets 4 bars a piece. Got a friggin' crazy amount. So
no, 40 people? 40 people, so that's 40 bar. You're thinking you're going to go a bar per person, right?
Or no? Yeah, she's gonna give like, you know, a bar per person, but she's putting together like a gift basket for the people that come because.
Which is right. That's
something
normal.
Nice.
But like, so maybe my expectations are wrong. Like maybe it's 40 to me seems like a small like wedding. Is that not a small wedding? I could be wrong.
Yeah.
How many did you have at your wedding, Brandon?
60?
I feel like I had like 100 and something.
You had more than me, yeah.
Well, that was her plan. Her plan was to have like 200 people, but because of COVID, they keep shutting things down. And so she's kind of got multiple lists. She's like, okay, I've got a 50 list if we're allowed 50 people. I've got a 25 list if I'm allowed only 25 people. And I've got a 10 list if I'm only allowed to have 10 people. So it's, yeah. Things are still closed.
That's, yeah. So that's not what it was. What it was is she goes, I'm going to have 100 people. And Adele goes, I can't make soap for 100 people.
So cut
it down.
She
goes, all right, well, then 40. And Adele goes, 40 is doable. 40 is doable.
Adele, again, you're talking to us about how closed the Great White North is, but you can get some great white rubdowns, and so it doesn't.
I was gonna mention something about that, but she had just like she was in a groove, so I wasn't gonna interrupt her. Yeah, the idea that like Canada shut down, this sucks, and then she got a rub. Yes, you know, last week she got a rub down.
Oh my god.
Not a rub and tug, Brandon. Let's be clear. It was not one of those places.
Just very reputable. So the one thing.
Better Business Bureau. You understand?
The one thing we will plug is Deli Baby and me did a little thing. We went on Homebrewing DIY. Go check that out. It should be out by the time this podcast goes out. Adele fell in love with a little product called the Beer Maker. She's been texting us all week.
Oh my gosh.
The Beer Maker. She loves the Beer Maker. She wants to quit actually brewing beer and do the automated brew maker. So look out for that in the future.
I'm glad you made that distinction. That's a good distinction. I appreciate that.
But yeah, it was a fun time. Please check that out. Nick, what do we have in the pipeline?
It's out right now.
Go check it out. And then come back here and check out our podcast. Rate us 5 stars. I should have said at the beginning.
No. No. Listen to this entire podcast, then yes. Go check that one out. That's, you don't leave in the middle.
Correct.
And then check it out, because you may not come back. Listen to this whole podcast, and then check out Homebrewing DIY. Or DIY. Yeah, no, same shit, you know, the Anvil folks, I will say the folks at Anvil are pretty awesome, pretty amazing people. We had our foundry under warranty, but, as a quick update, they did send us a new relay, as I mentioned last week, as well as a new fan. That didn't work. They sent us over a brand new shell, as I mentioned last week. Things boiling away. I should have taken a video of it. The boil vigor on this some bitch at 240 gets me going from 6 to midnight. I'll tell you what, it was only about 2 or 3 gallons of water, but this son of a bitch was pumping out so much boil vigor. I'm concerned that my vent's not going to be able to handle it. That's how excited I am. This thing's boil vigor was so rough. I went from 6 to midnight. I'll tell you, I was so excited about this boil vigor on this anvil. It was so much stronger than the Kegland Robo Brew, and so much stronger than the Mash and Boil at 240. I was so excited. I wanted to put my nuts on the rim of it.
Oh my gosh. A little malt, a little hop, and a little, you know, nut sack in there. Oh, yeah.
Listen, that's what we do in America. So very excited. I'm very, very excited to brew with this unit. It's going to be tough. I'm going to try my hardest to hold off until Brandon's available. I have some landscaping stuff I'm doing this weekend, so I'm not available, but I'm going to try as hard as I can because I want him to really experience the anvil at 240. We worked very hard for this. Many trials and tribulations with the anvil at 120. So at 240, I'm hoping the numbers shouldn't change a whole lot, but the brew day should go a lot quicker. So they sent us a new shell. It's all set. I just have to send out the old shell. And then determine, hopefully I'll reach out to them and we'll figure out what the problem was. But we're good to go. 240 is done. It was not a mechanic. It was not an electrical issue, as many folks in our homebrew club might have you think, Gary. It was not any type of issue other than an anvil issue. So they rectified it very quickly, sent out the shell on a Thursday, got to my house on a Saturday. I was heading out to Connecticut for the weekend to get hammered with a buddy. Did not have time. Sunday, Monday, tried it out. Boil vigor's great. We're good to go.
Hell yeah. So hopefully I'll be able to brew sooner rather than later. I probably got some availability coming up in the next week or two, which will be awesome. And we can get that going and we'll have some brew news for you. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to discuss the state of beer in 2021. Stick around.
So as everybody in the Brewtubers Online Brewers Club knows, I am the one half of the vice presidency. Brandon's the other half, but I'm the sponsorships manager as well. And part of my job is to get sponsors for the homebrew club that Brandon, myself, and Adele are in. Adele, the first lady of the Brewtubers Online Brewers Club. The first Canadian brew lady as well of the Brewtubers Online Brewers Club. So we have some experiments coming up. We don't need to get into detail about what the experiments are, but part of the experiments is finding sponsors that will sponsor the club and give us some free shit so that we can send that to the folks that are doing the experiments that are in the club to give them a little thank you for doing the experiments, because they're paying for shipping to a hub and they're paying for shipping back to get beers to review on camera of people that are in the homebrew club. So part of my job is to get those sponsors on board for the club. And then another part of my job is to get them to give some free stuff. So Hop Steiner has very generously decided to come on board to help sponsor just the experiment, not the club. And part of that is giving product. That's, in fact, it's the entire part of being a sponsor of a specific experiment is giving product. You're not giving money for the year to be sponsored, but you're giving product in order to be featured in some way. So after speaking to the folks over at Hop Steiner, if anybody doesn't know by the name Hop Steiner, they're a hop proprietor. They grow hops, they sell hops, whatever the case may be. Speaking to the gentleman, I won't give his name out. But speaking to the gentleman there, we've had a good relationship for a few years. They were a sponsor a few years ago, and this year they decided to jump on as a sponsor of the experiment as well. And we agreed on 10 pounds of hops being sent between three different hubs because we have three different experiments. One of the experiment hubs, the gentleman, his name is Nate Pico, Fresh P, my guy, my dude over in Atlanta, messaged me on Discord because he had gotten the box from Hop Steiner. Now, the deal was to split 10 pounds of hops, Adele, between three different hubs. So not split evenly, but depending on how many people signed up, it was supposed to be kind of a 40, 50, 10 split between the three, if I were to give percentages. So I sent him the tracking and he responded, holy shit, three boxes. So I said to myself, okay, that was the first clue that there's no way 10 pounds of hops split between three locations, that one location. My assumption was one location is getting all 10 pounds. We can figure it out. So he then sends me, we go more down, you know, this conversation. He says, dude, holy shit. And he proceeds to send me a picture of plastic bags filled with black packages. You would think we were doing a drug deal. I mean, there's gotta be cocaine or heroin. There's gotta be something in these packages because there's no way it's just hops. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And only what I can see, big, gigantic plastic bags. And I wrote, yeah, man, I told you 10 pounds. And he replied, this might be more than 10 pounds. And then he wrote concurrently, it's 56 pounds, according to the boxes.
Oh, my God.
So our lovely, radiant brew lady sent me an article today about the state of craft beer and how it's on the rise coming, you know, this spring. Things might be opening up a little more in America. Maybe not so much in Canada. But a lot of these craft breweries think they're going to have a decent spring. Taps are opening up. Breweries are opening up. The ones that haven't closed, unfortunately, due to the pandemic, should be at more capacity. Adele, do you want to talk about that article you sent me today?
Well, I didn't read it in fine detail, but
did you
there was a couple articles that came up. I breezed it, but I also breezed a couple other that were in like the same kind of grain of headlines where like things are rebounding, not just craft beer, but like many industries are rebounding back to pre-COVID times, which gives me hope. These are all like in the States, though. This is not Canada yet. Canada's nowhere near rebounding to that effect, but it's happening with craft beer. Like, I know, you know, we've had other topics about homebrew becoming more popular, but we're seeing now that craft beer is getting back to pre-COVID times. What is that can? It's pretty. Nick is just showing a can.
The intent was not to distract Adela, to let Brandon know. They distribute great notion at K's Cans and Bottles in Weymouth.
Ooh, I need to go there.
They get it every now and then, he said. So nice. Carry on.
Yeah, but if you flash pretty little things in front of my face, I'm going to be distracted.
Duly noted.
I'm going to be distracted. Oh, my God. That's why I go into a brewery and I'm like, ooh, look at all the shiny, pretty things. But it's nice to know that those shiny, pretty things are going to, you know, continue on, that the craft beer didn't die because of this pandemic. Yes, there's been some breweries to, you know, suffer and not be able to stay open through it. But the ones that survived, they are going to thrive. They're going to get back to pre-COVID times. And I suspect, well, now we're going to go into my assumptions. I suspect, I've been saying it a couple times or for a while now, we're going to go back into another roaring 20s. We totally are. You know, we're coming out of this pandemic. Everyone's been shut in. We're all eager to get out there and drink our faces off and just celebrate and just have loads and loads of sex if you're not already.
Oh, yeah. That's what happens. Listen, there's nothing.
It's every episode, Brandon. We started off as the poop podcast. And now we're the sex podcast. It's like,
okay, well, I know of two COVID babies that are on the way. Two babies that were conceived during COVID.
COVID has lasted a year. It's gonna happen. There's millions of babies that were conceived in the year plus that there has been a pandemic.
2 years.
So, no, but there's always little spikes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
There's always little spikes whenever there's something that causes people to be shut in. Like in Canada, or I don't know if it was in Canada. I think it was just Ontario. There was a huge blackout. Huge blackout so many years ago. I can't remember when it was. And 9 months later, there were blackout babies.
Yeah, no, Adele, that's
tons
math.
Tons and tons
that's
of
how that happens.
Babies.
So what happens is in a 9 month period, if you have sex and get pregnant, generally in 9 months, law of averages. In 9 months, you have a baby. Usually that's what happens.
And what I'm saying is that there was more babies birthed because of that occurrence. Like there was more babies conceived on that day than normal.
This is,
right.
Yeah. This is either here or there. Adele stating that she knows COVID babies.
I went on a tangent.
It's every time.
COVID babies.
After a pandemic. But yeah, it is interesting that this spring / summer will, you know, the vaccinations are out. People are going to feel more comfortable being out and patronizing these craft breweries. I have seen that craft beer has been getting a little more footprint on the beer market. I think they were up to 50%, if I'm not mistaken, over the last, they just creeped up to the 50% mark this month or last month.
What is that metric? Of all beer, I don't know if it's higher than 12
beer,
or 13.
It might be draft beer. Deli Baby, do you have that article up? I saw it on there.
Yeah, I'm looking at the numbers in it. Currently, craft comprises of 57% of tap real estate, yet only a third of the volume of the liquid that passes through.
Thank you. Yeah, so tap real estate is what makes sense. Yeah, correct. That makes a lot more sense than actual footprint.
I mean, how many people are buying Miller Lite off the tap? It probably not that much.
So, and I think that number is increasing, and they are expecting to have a big summer, which is awesome. But also, something that has happened is homebrew has also had a resurgence as of late.
But Brandon, is it homebrew or is it I'm making homebrew?
Everybody's making homebrew because they're shut in.
They were the past year or two. Right.
I'm like that and this might be a gift that only us Boston people know, but Glenn Big Baby Davis rubbing his hands together, like, search that gift. That's how I am, knowing that how many homebrewers there's going to be out there in the world now because of the pandemic and people learning this craft and understanding it.
I actually disagree. I think within the market of homebrew, what you're finding is, speaking to the one homebrew store that's within a, I don't know, 20-minute radius of me, is that what happened during the pandemic was there are current teachers and... Come on.
There's a mute button.
You cocksucker. What do you mean you put it down? A microphone's a microphone, dick. It's going to pick it up. Mute. Like a normal person. I've been muting my balls off this entire episode. I've been muty McMuterson. I've been Mr. Mute.
Probably because you're just farting.
You definitely just let one rip. Everybody heard it. You rip so much ass that I had to fucking, I'm sitting here trying to say my thing. And both me and Adele here, just a total ass rip. Just rip ass city. Population dick.
I think to take that ricochet shot on a podcast that I co-host is besmirching of the highest degree, and I will not have it.
I mean,
what I was trying to say was homebrewers that kind of started homebrewing, left for one reason or another, whether it's kids or, you know, your career or whatever, found their way back. I don't know how many people got into the hobby because of the pandemic. I do know that there are plenty of people that returned to the hobby because of the pandemic. Now, the question is, how many of those folks will stay in the hobby after the pandemic, right? So from a market standpoint, I do expect that percentage of homebrewers to fall quite a bit. I really do. And I think you're going to see the homebrew stores kind of come back level set in a way, you know, water will meet its level, you know, and you're going to find that for the most part, the hardcore folks were going to be there, right? The challenge is going to be, from a homebrew marketing perspective, getting the folks that started homebrewing, left homebrewing for a reason, came back during the pandemic, is going to be keeping them. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes over the course of the next 2, 3, 5 years, and how many people get into it. It would be interesting to me, you know, in that regard. I don't know how many people really got into it during the pandemic. Generally, what happened was during the pandemic, folks kind of reverted back to the hobbies that they started. Or, you know, if they found a hobby, it was something that really kind of was a quick win. You know, it was something that was, what is that? It was not a lot of labor, but it gave them the result they wanted. Kind of like the beer maker Adele wants to get. It's like little kind of, you put little into it, but you get what you want at the end of the day. So it's just, it's one of those things. Maybe there were a ton of beer makers being bought. Just people were just like, I have kids, you know, they're learning from home. I just want to throw in my grains, throw in my hops, fucking throw it in. 24 hours later, I have beer fermenting, you know, maybe it's one of those things. So I could see from a homebrew perspective, you know, that's a very expensive machine. So I don't know how much of the market segment that is, but the ultimate idea that I'm trying to push is that generally folks during the pandemic that were into homebrewing and left it came back. And so those are the folks that homebrew shops should really be focused on keeping.
Yeah, I would love to. I hope that they stay and that this community can grow a little more. That'd be excellent. But I do see Nick's point of it was something to do during a time when there wasn't much to do. Once you're able to do other things, maybe it isn't something you hold on to. It is a commitment, you know, as we know. But I do like that the homebrew community seems to be, or at least the local homebrew shops, seem to have not only been able to get through this pandemic, but actually kind of do okay, and not as much as unfortunately some of the craft beer industry, as I thought I saw something like 307. It's probably even more than that. Had closed up shop. I'm sure it's more than that in the
throughout
States.
The country.
I thought I read something like that. I'm sure it's more. I know some people have had to close down shop because of this, and that is extreme.
See, I can see that.
Yeah.
And I hate to not to interrupt Brandon. 307 or whatever that number Brandon mentioned is across the country does make sense. To point towards one or two states at that number is insanity. But 307 over the course of the country, yeah, I get that. Here in Massachusetts, I don't know if there was any brewery that shut down, like closed down for good. I mean, we're in a very beer-rich state where you can adjust to the times and make things happen. We had breweries around here decide they wanted to deliver in person. Now you had to buy a certain amount. But again, these folks that are buying this beer at a premium price at one case, two cases per person, because breweries are not going to deliver 2 4-packs, right? Fiscally, it doesn't make sense. They want at least, you need to buy at least a case. And I was one of those people because it's the pandemic. I'm not going out. I'm not spending money on a vacation. I'm putting money back into my property, whether it's putting a fence up, whether it's landscaping, whatever the case may be. I have expendable income. I have my job still. I don't want to drive to the brewery and risk getting COVID. I'm going to have them deliver it to my house. Contactless delivery, done and done. Give them a nice little tip and I'm on my way. So there are breweries here in the States that really made out decently well. Most every brewery capitalizes, they make most of their money on-premise sales because you're charging $8 for a 16-ounce pint and you don't have to package it. It's coming in a keg. You don't have to worry about it. You're selling cans at, you know, $4.25 per can, but you're selling it in a 4-pack. You're not making as much money. So on-premise being removed hurt everybody, right? But what ended up happening was you had breweries that were adjusting to the times. And now there's a brewery here locally that we talk about ad nauseum called Trillium. And they just recently stopped their delivery service because things are opening up now. And now they depend on folks to come back and drink $8 pints and then grab a couple of 4-packs and some bottles on their way out, right? But they're going to still deliver to Pennsylvania and New York and all the other states that are in the area through UPS because it's... They're selling the beer. They're if you can, as long as you can continue to push beer out of your main location and not distribute, you control the climate. You control how the beer is sold. You control the temperature at which it's sold. You control everything, and you don't have to pay a distributor to throw the beer on a shelf in a non-shelf stable product like a New England IPA sitting on a shelf in 60 degrees. That's not great for beer. Not for New England IPAs. So just my insight is my limited insight and talking to the owner of Trillium and talking to other folks within the home brewing and craft beer industry. And I just spoke to a gentleman that owns a bottle shop today about this stuff and about how it's impacted him. And so it's such an interesting concept. But ultimately, depending on the area you live in, folks may have done better during the pandemic.
Yeah, I am. One thing that I am very excited for, your boy's got that 2-dose vaccine in him. He's out there, and you know, I am ready to sit outside, still socially distance, because I don't want to be near people, and have a couple of pints at the brewery. Hanging out, getting, you know, what do they call it? Nature is healing at this point. I will feel like we are getting back to where we're supposed to be. And I can't wait for it to happen. Adele, say something. You got some?
I don't know where you're pointing at.
I took that bit.
I actually, what? No, that was great. We all took a stab at it. I'm going to get stabbed, don't hopefully.
Stab at it. Oh, jeez. Fucking gross.
What?
Because well, the dog goes, anyway. I'm going to get stabbed That's at some so point, hopefully.
You're just a gross
sex. Yeah,
you're
just yeah gross we get it, adult.
No. Oh, I'm not even talking about the sex about this time. I'm talking about getting vaccinated. Like, what are you talking about? I've been dying to get stabbed here. Like, Nick has left the podcast. The one time I'm not Nick being dirty.
You died. Nick died.
Oh my god. I wasn't trying to be gross.
Hand up. Listen, we all make mistakes, Adele. You have to understand that. And it's also because it's
No, I get it. I get it. I've you know portrayed myself as being this nymphomaniac and that's okay. That's why I'm not angry that you made the assumption that that's what I was talking about.
Of
but,
course, I made that assumption.
I'm fucking against it.
At no fault of yours. I mean, Brandon fantastic. Thought the same thing, but no, like, yeah. Yeah, it sounds like by the end of next month, all adults, anyone over the age of 18, will be able to book to get vaccinated. So I'm hoping that maybe by the end of June, I'll have my first vaccine.
You know what that means, Adele?
But
that means that Brandon, Adele, that means NHC 2022. Adele's coming, baby. Pennsylvania Exit 12 Craft Beer and Homebrew Lifestyle Podcast is coming for that ass. Adele didn't think there was an end in sight. Once we get that ass vaccinated, she's coming and we are taking over Pennsylvania.
That's right. Cannot
Oh my God.
Wait.
June of 2022. So we have well over a year to plan that. But if Adele's getting vaccinated this June, that's happening. We're good to go. This May, June, whatever. Fuck, we are taking over Philadelphia for NHC 2022. Well,
that'd be tough because it's in Pittsburgh, but
we can make our own in Philadelphia. We'll make the Exit 12 Craft Beer Homebrew Lifestyle Homebrew Con. Done. We have a year, Brandon. We have over a year. Up next is Brew Songs. As everybody who's listened to this podcast since we started knows, Brew Songs is a bit where myself, Brandon, and Adele each choose one song to be featured every week that is a representation of how we're feeling that week, or a song that we like that we listen to on a Spotify playlist, or a song that has special meaning to us. I'm looking at you, Adele. And every week those songs are featured, as I mentioned, and they go on a podcast playlist that Brandon updates and edits called E12 Brew Songs. And you, as a listener, have the ability to meander on to Spotify, search E12 Brew Songs, and follow that playlist. If you have Apple Music, if you have Google Music, in fact, I don't even know if Google Music is still around, but if you have any other streaming music service other than Spotify, you cannot listen. That means what you need to do as a subscriber of any other music episode, a music service that loves what we do here on the Exit 12 Craft Beer Homebrew Lifestyle Podcast, you need to go on Spotify, sign up for a service, $10 a month. It's $5 if you're a student. Sign up. And the first thing you should do is follow us on E12 Brew Songs. Hit the follow button. In fact, I recently learned that Apple and Spotify are changing the options that you have. So instead of hitting subscribe on a podcast, you hit follow on a podcast, because the term subscribe would indicate, it would infer that you have to pay a certain amount of money. We don't do that here. Everything's free. Everything's zero dull hairs, including the E12 Brew Songs playlist on Spotify. E12 Brew Songs, follow us. This week, I am starting out with Adele, a.k.a. Deli Baby, a.k.a. Deli Doomy, a.k.a. Dradel, a.k.a. My Girl Dell. That's how we do this. And Adele is eclectic. I don't think that that's awkward to say. I don't think that that's a misrepresentation of who she is when it comes to music. Non-music, she's a fucking savage. But when it comes to music, She's very eclectic. And one thing we love about Adele is that she brings different musical tastes every week. Because if we just did hip hop every week, it wouldn't be very interesting. So Adele's song this week is by Brothers and Sisters. It's called Here It Comes. The song is from 2016. And listen, obviously, just, I mean, Brandon, just so on point with the geek. This song, like I said, Brothers and Sisters, Here It Comes, is off the album. It's actually a single. All of Adele, I don't even know why I say single. All of Adele's songs are off singles, Brandon. I don't know
usually
why I go in on the album. It's always a single. For 2 minutes and 19 seconds. All of Adele's songs are super fucking short, too. 2 minutes and 19 seconds, released in 2016, Ozone Entertainment. I mean, this is Adele through and through.
It's just, yeah, it's just
totally
happy rock music of just asexual people singing over a snappy guitar beat, and that is Adele. Adele likes this, and she bobs her shaven head around and does this slight
half shaven.
Sorry,
I'm still fabulous on one side.
Adele,
I guess that side.
You're fabulous on both sides, but this
fabulous.
Your songs are not. This one's not bad. This is just what you would get on Tony Hawk Pro Skater number 4. You know, upload menu screen is what we're looking at here. It's just a
This is that song that kind of pumps you up before you just dive into a game or a brew day in my case, or just happy that you're getting vaccinated someday in the near future.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, this song already went on my podcast playlist. It already went on my like life. This is such a fucking heater. It this song is like, it's Brandon, it's Thursday, I just got in my car, I'm leaving the parking lot of where I work.
Yeah.
Brandon, it's so close to Friday. Here's the difference, Brandon. I took Friday off.
Oh,
it's a long weekend, baby.
Yeah.
It's a long weekend. And there is no better song than this one right now to just absolutely slam me into my long weekend.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
And then it's done. I'm surprised no one commented on the album art. I don't even know what that's supposed to be.
I didn't look at it.
Adele, the song was 2 minutes. What do you want us to do? You didn't. I mean,
I'm just surprised.
Songs that are like,
because like even I was a little like, what the fuck is that? But
I don't think we had a chance. It was such a short song. I mean,
it's a very
that's
short
the one
song
that you want to go longer than 2 minutes. It's a fucking great song. Up next is Brandon. I mean, Adele. Past 2 out of 3 weeks, Brandon's had a tough go of it. That's not, I'm not saying things that are not incorrect.
It was just the 1 week, but he's been so butthurt about it that it's just kind of carried on, you know?
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I guess, yeah, Adele was a little more lively about the second song than I was. I thought Brandon kind of missed the mark. Adele was very supportive.
I mean, no, Adele was not supportive at all, but okay. If that's the narrative we're going to go with, fine. If we want to be fake news, we'll just be fake news. That's cool.
I was on the podcast. As Brandon will present, I'm apparently a co-host of this podcast, even though I don't add much from a hosting standpoint, except for this bit, which I love dearly. What I can tell you from my experience is Adele was very supportive of Brandon. Not the first song, because it was fucking awful. But this, it was like the third song. I don't fucking know. We've done these so many weeks. All I know is that Adele and myself disagreed on how awful Brandon's song was. I thought it was disgusting. Adele thought it was kind of disgusting. It was okay. So Brandon's got a lot to live up to. Brandon's in a slump. I mean, there's no way to say it. There's no other way. So this week, Brandon went with The Living End, Prisoner of Society. 3 minutes and 49 seconds off of the album The Living End, self-titled, 1999. And Brandon just said, listen, I need Adele to agree with me.
That listen, is I like this. Oh, yeah. I was listening to it watering the lawn to get a little grass growing, and I was just like, oh yeah.
This is a weird song to water the lawn to.
This is a good old jam.
Like, this is a song.
I was
that,
a prisoner of my own society of watering my lawn, and it made me feel, you know, good. Adele's liking this. Adele likes it.
You cannot get mad at Adele for giving meaning to her songs, and you just did exactly
that's
that.
That's true.
This is a song where you pull up to a red light with somebody, and they look at you and flip you off, and before that light turns green, you get out of your car, you take your skateboard, and you fucking slam their windshield with it, and you crack their windshield with your skateboard. That's what this song is.
That's a good...
Yeah!
100%.
100%! Not... watering your lawn. Like, I like had flashbacks to like mosh pit days, like listening to the song here. Good times, but definitely not watering my lawn. Brandon, you're weird.
Hey, I didn't fucking come on this week to take your shit, Adele. Go go pound sand. I gave a nice song and I gave while I liked it. I'm fucking suburbanite Brandon over here, and this is what I'm doing. I'm not fucking mosh pit. I'm almost 40. The fuck am I doing? COVID, ever heard of it?
That's true, but you know what? This is a song where pre-COVID times, you're driving by, you see somebody in a parking lot of a cell phone store like AT&T taking a nice little nap. You pull in, they got their window down, it's the middle of summer. You walk up to them, grab them by the shirt while they're sleeping and start punching them in the face. Just while they're sleeping. That's what this song is. And I know that because that happened to
you. You got punched in the face while sleeping for no reason?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I used to sell cell phones. I had a bad breakup with a girl. I went on my break to, like, sleep in my car, take a little nap on my break. Yeah, I woke up to, like, getting punched in the face.
Did they have an agenda? What? Why did they punch you in the face? Were they just angry? Did they have a reason?
The girl I broke up with, like, sent, like, her brother's friends. And one of them, like... started punching me in the face. I had a bloody lip.
There's
and everything.
Nothing worse than waking up to just dead sleep to punch in the face.
Oh, it was the worst. Yeah, and immediately, obviously, like I grabbed him by his shirt and started punching him too. I'm obviously going to defend myself, but yeah, your boy got snuffed.
Wow.
Like, I was like dead. I was in La La Land.
Your boy was.
It was a fascinating
counting
experience.
Counting some sheep. Just getting blasted in the face.
I've never slept in my car since. Yeah, never will. That guy, that gentleman had a lasting impact on my life. Last but certainly not least, never the least, Adele. Never. Sometimes the least. We all have duds, and that's what Brandon has to get used to. And, you know, it just, these things happen. Adele has duds weekly, well, to Brandon and I. It's subjective, right? It's whoever's listening. But I've certainly experienced a dud. This week, I feel very, very confident. And the reason why is because we have folks in our homebrew club who like to jog. They like to run. And that's what my song is this week. This week, your boy came with the heat a little bit. I went with Ganja White Knight is the name of the artist. The name of the song is Champagne off of the album Hybrid Distillery. From 2015, this song 3 minutes 50 seconds, and it gets into it pretty quickly, and it's just a little banger, baby. Just something, you take your little shoulders and you go back and forth, and you're just happy that you're alive. You're happy you're alive, your bills are paid, you got money in the bank account.
That's right.
You know, you're going out this weekend, or maybe you're sitting in like me recording a podcast, and yeah. It's just something easy, man. This is a song that you need at the end of your run when you're in the last quarter mile and you're just... Adele, it's a cool-down song. You understand? You're not trying to get hyped up. You're trying to cool down a little bit. But this is a song that you're just easy. You're in a rowboat right now. You're in a canoe. And you're just fucking left, right, right, left, left, right. That's it.
What is that? Is that like an accordion?
It's a kazoo.
Could be.
Who gives a fuck what it is? It's a banger.
Like, this is like a, I just had a run and now I'm just having a shower. Rub-a-dub-dub. Yeah, I'm
a little jazz.
I'm just picturing just having a little party in the shower with, you know, soaping up my hair.
Oh yeah.
I don't even know.
Where you,
I'm,
you,
yeah.
You put this song when you're driving in the car, your windows are down, it's the middle of summer, your shit does not stink. This is that song. It's like, you are vibing. There's nothing that could go wrong, Adele. Nothing.
Nothing.
There's another car within a mile. You're just driving. You're just focused on the road and just dancing your fucking balls off. Or your vagina off, depending on man or woman.
True.
You're just fucking killing it, right? It's just...
with a kazoo.
Nothing can go wrong, Adele. Yeah. Life is perfect.
Nobody could punch you in the face while you're trying to take some Z's. It's just the perfect little ditty.
Nope, not with this song, Brandon. Not on this day, baby. That's what this week was for me. It's like, I've had this new job for a few months. That's why I picked this song. I've had this new job for a few months. I'm finally starting to like round out into this job where I'm really feeling like I'm part of the team. You know, it's Friday. I leave. I have my own parking lot. Like, I park. I don't need to worry about public transportation. I live 20 minutes away from the hospital. Your boy, 5 o'clock comes, he walks out to his car, that's the first song he puts on. You know, I fucking handled some stuff for my team this week, I really felt like I was part of the team. We don't have a boss right now, he left, he's off to greener pastures, and we're just fucking, we're doing our thing, we're a well-oiled machine, and we're just moving on, and that's what this song is, man. That's what it is. So, to Adele's point, that's I had a meaning for my song.
Nick, you know what you need to do? No boss. What you need to do is go into work. This is something I learned from Captain Phillips, a movie. You just go in and you look at your team and you say, hey, I'm the boss now. I'm the boss now. Listen, if you say it with enough conviction.
A better example would be Nelly from The Office. You just walk in and all of a sudden you're the manager.
Listen,
it's Nelly. You gotta do something
there. There's a little space here where you can sort of take over, a little hostile takeover that you're missing. And I think you need to really lock that in before somebody else thinks of it.
I agree. That's a good
somebody
point.
Else might do it to you.
I just go into my boss's office and start handing out raises to
people. I mean, the good start is to just literally break into your boss's office and start using it. And when somebody says, what are you doing? Just say, what do you mean?
And the door's wide open, so yeah, so I could walk in right now. The door's wide open. Yeah. There's nothing in there.
Yeah.
Just start working from there. People are like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, you didn't hear? I'm the VP right now.
Acting VP.
Do you want to come in for your review? I can, what, a 3% raise. Oh, really, Nick? I've only gotten a 2% in the past. Yeah, well, I'm the VP now, so 3%.
There you go.
I just start handing out raises.
What's this? This is a foolproof plan.
That's Monday morning. Yeah. It's like we record these podcasts on Friday, Monday morning in May. Yes, that is absolutely happening. I will be VP Nick Lesigor, or I'll be unemployed Nick Lesigor. Listen. That'll happen on Monday. We'll figure that out. And the cohort, meaning you guys, will know. But I think Brandon and I have a pretty foolproof
plan. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. So it seems like a foolproof plan.